Yeah, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thanks for the opportunity we have to continue to hear from you and grow in our faith. And so as we're attempting to hear from you, please don't let me get in your way of what you need said and heard by whoever is with us today. God, again, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence. You said two or more gathered, and you would be there in a special way. So whether that's me on screen and somebody else, or maybe two or more are gathered in a room and we're watching, or whatever that is, Heavenly Father, help us to sense your presence as we take time in your word. Again, we want your will to be done, your kingdom to be built, your name glorified. And so we thank you. We thank you for, again, for this opportunity to hear from you. Jesus, thank you for all that you taught us about following you in this life and about what it means to follow you into eternity and what that looks like. As we talk about that a little bit more today, Jesus, thank you. But also thank you for teaching so much about following you right now. That includes teaching us to pray, which we're going to take a little more time for today. But Heavenly Father, hear us as we pray back to you the way Jesus taught when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Again, welcome. Glad you guys are with us. We're in this series called God Help Me. God Help Me. And the idea is this. It's a reminder that we all have problems. Jesus knows that we're going to have problems. He said, you won't just have trials and sorrows. You will have many trials and sorrows. That's how life is. But what we're learning, I hope is what we're learning, is if we apply this simple prayer to our lives, then things look different. It just changes some things. When we pray this simple prayer, God, help me. God, help me. We can memorize that prayer, right? No matter what we're going through, God, help me. We can lean on him. And he asks us to, he invites us to. So these past few weeks, we've been looking into our scriptures, into the Bible, and saying, what can we discover? What can we learn about how do I find solutions? How do I manage? How do I go about handling problems? Because problems are coming. Now, what do I do with that? What do I do with that? And even the ones, like, what do I do with the problems that I'm dealing with right now? How do we deal with those? You know, we've covered a lot, but today I want us to look at how do I talk to God about my problems? So, if you would, wherever you're at, make sure you've got those message notes in front of you, all right, on digital, and you're ready to fill in blanks and all those things. As you get that ready, let me just say, you know, I'm amazed and how many people, and I don't know why I'm amazed by this, but I have a number of people who come to me with their problems, which is fine. That's part of the gig. That's part of what I do as a pastor. People come to me with their problems. But here's the part I'm amazed at, is they come to me and they tell me all the people they've already talked to about their problems. They come to me and said, you know, I talk to my friends about my problem and they think this, and then I talk to my parents about the problem and they agree, and, you know, they agree with me, and this is what I should do and this is what I should do. But Pastor, what do you think I should do? Now, first of all, thank you for coming, and thanks for putting me on the spot. Now that you've said that everybody is in agreement with you, now what do you think, Pastor? You know, it's kind of a tough place to be, especially if I'm not sure if I agree with your decision, right? But here's what I'd like to ask. I like to ask this question. Have you talked to God about it? Have you talked to God about it? What does God want you? What does God want him or her to do about their problem? Have you talked to God about it? And what do you hear him saying? Well, to which they say, well, Pastor Stan, that's why I'm coming to you. What do you think God is telling me to do? No. Hang on. That's not what we're going after here. But I want each one of us can talk to God. Each one of us can go to him. You know, we say we want to know God's will. I want to follow God's direction in my life. I want God to help me with my problems. We want God's direction. Like, boy, Lord, I want your plans in my life. then why is he always, it feels like he's often the last one we turn to when we have a problem. Like, who do we go to first? Oftentimes we go to our friends, okay? We'll go down through a short list here. We go to our friends. Well, our friends are emotionally invested in our lives, and they really just want to have our back. You know, they're going to side with us, and they're going to say, yep, if you think that's the best thing, I'm with you. That might not be the best thing. It's good to have friends. Here's what I suggest. At least have godly friends. If you're going to ask a godly friend who also wants God's will in your life. A godly friend who might be willing to say, you're not going to want to hear this, but here's what I believe that God would have you do, according to what I've studied. Now, you've got to go to God too, but here's what, so friends, sometimes helpful, sometimes not that much. Sometimes we go to our spouse, go to my spouse and say, you know, I'm having this problem, and the problem with that is that oftentimes my wife or your spouse is fully intertwined into that problem as well. They're struggling with the same problem. They don't know what to do, and you don't know what to do. Now you're looking at each other with neither one of you knowing what to do because you're engulfed in that problem. And what about this? What if your spouse is the problem? Now what do you do, right? So maybe sometimes we go to our parents because our parents are our parents. And they would know what's best. So we go to our parents and we ask, what should I do? But keep in mind that your parents, ever since the day you were born, their job has been to protect you. Their job has been to protect you. And if they're going to protect you, they're going to tell you the safest way through your problem. Now, God might be wanting to grow you through your problem. Your parents might want to protect you from your problem. Those are two different things. So sometimes parents don't give us the best advice when we have these problems. I love this one. Have you ever gone to Google with a problem? How many people do that, right? Well, I'll just Google it. Let me just get on my phone. I'll just Google that, right? Be careful what you Google. I'm telling you right now. All right? Like you Google, I have a cough. What's wrong with me? Well, your Google is going to tell you that you probably have Zika virus and you're about to die. Okay? So be careful what you ask. You Google marriage problems and this list of divorce lawyers come up. So you're like, well, I guess I must get divorced. That's what I have to do. So be careful using Google. Okay? It'll tell you all sorts of things. Now, who's missing from that list is God. That's what we're talking about today. How do I start to go to God first? Before my friends, before my spouse, before my parents, before Google, please, right? Okay? Like, how do I go to God first? And so, when we go to other sources first, we often turn a small problem into a bigger problem, minor problem into a major problem, because we don't know how to handle it. If we could go to God first, maybe He helps us see it more clearly. So, don't make God your last resort. Make Him your first contact. Listen to Paul's writings from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. He says, don't worry about anything. Pause. Well, that's easier said than done. Thank you. But then he tells us how. Here's what he says. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When we don't put God first, we worry. We get anxious. We get stressed. It gets worse. And then it gets worse again. Right? But when we go to God, He says, let me offer you some peace. Could anybody use some peace? Most of us, right? Most of us. Well, here we go. In your notes. So if you've got your notes in front of you, whether it's on phone or tablet or whatever, if you've got your notes in front of you, here's where we're going. Why talk to God about my problems first? Why should I go to God? Hopefully I can convince you don't go to Google first, go to God first. Why go to God first? Here's the first one, if you'd fill this in, write this in. Is because He cares for me. Why go to God first? Because He cares for me. Cares for me. Listen, God loves you more than anyone else on this planet. Like He breathed life into you. You were created in His image by Him. He gave you life. He chose you to live. And then he gave his son to die in your place so that you could be forgiven of your sins and could spend eternity in what Jesus called paradise with God in his presence. No one else did that for you. Just God. He cares for you more than any person you've ever met. He cares for you. Not only does he want the best for you because he cares for you. Not only does he want the best for you, he knows what's best for you. Number two is that he knows what's best for you. He wants what's best and he knows what's best. He's not just hoping you'll figure out the best thing. He can tell you exactly what that is. So he knows what's best for you if you'd write that down. He knows his plans for you, and his plans for you are better than your plans for you. He knows. He knows your problems, and he knows the best solutions. So let me ask you, he knows what's best for you. Let me ask you a question. If your house is on fire, let's say, I hope it's not, okay? But if your house is on fire, let me just ask what you do. Like, where do you go first? Like, do you get on Facebook real quick and just post, hey, I think my house is on fire. Is anybody, you know, what would you do? What's your opinion? Do you quickly text a friend, hey, has this ever happened to you? No. 911, right? We know that. Like, who do I go to first? There's a problem. These are the solvers of the problem. Call 911. I hope we know that. So what would God say? If you've got problems in life problems, dial 911. Go to God first. God knows best. God, help me. What's our first prayer? God, help me. I'm going through this. You know all about it. Which gets us to this, number three. I talk to God about my problems first because he's always there for me, if you'd write that down. He is always there for me. He is always there for me. He promised. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll be with you always. He promised to go before you. He promised not to fail you, not to abandon you. I will be with you always to the end of the age, which means at least our lifetime, right? If not eternity. I will be with you always. Now, who else has promised you that? Well, who else has ever promised you that could keep that promise? No one. Just God. He is always with you. Okay, so God is with us. And he wants us to come to him first with our problems. I hope we got that. Okay, go to God first. Don't go to Google first. Go to God first. So there's three reasons why to go to God first. Now, how? Because sometimes one of our difficulties is, I want to go to God, but I don't know how. I don't even know how to talk to him. How do I do that? So today, hopefully this is helpful for us, right? How to best talk to God about my problems. How to best talk to God about my problems. Because he wants you to. All right? That's what I want you to hear as we start this, because he wants you to. Number one is this. If you write this down, be honest and talk to God like a friend. How do I go to God? Well, with honesty. How do I talk to God? Like a friend. How best to talk to God about my problems? Be honest and talk to God like a friend. Listen, When you're having a conversation with a good friend, do you ever change your voice or change how you how you speak or whatever? Like, I don't know, people, do you think that my friends come up to me and say, excuse me, Reverend Pegram, might I have a moment of your time? Well, no. They're my friends. They just talk to me. Please, don't ever call me Reverend Pegram. That's what I make my kids call me, okay? So just call me Stan, all right? If it's a friend, they already kind of know you anyway, right? Like if you're talking to a friend, you can pick up conversations right where you left off. Well, when you pray, how do you talk to God? Dear God, thank you so much for your... I don't know why we adopt English accents. I don't know. Anyway, like, how do you talk to God? Just talk to him. Just talk to him like you talk to anybody. So when you pray, how do you talk to God? Do you talk to him like he's close and he's with you always? Or do you talk to him like he's some distant being who has no idea who you are? Hey, God out there somewhere, it's me. This is Stan. Maybe you forgot. No. Jesus tells us how to pray. Like on the Sermon on the Mount, and there's just a briefing of it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, He says that when you pray, don't pray to impress God. Don't pray to impress other people. Just be real. Just talk to Him. You can go back and check that in Matthew chapter 6. But God already knows all that you go through and all that you feel, and He wants us to share those with Him. Doesn't matter. Whatever you're going through, whatever your feelings you have, God can handle those feelings. Happy, sad, glad, mad, right? Overwhelmed, empty, fulfilled, anxious, stressed out. Whatever it is, you can go to God and say, God, here's how I'm feeling. He goes, I got you. I hear you. I'm feeling it with you. I know what you're going through. Because He does. And so you just talk to God about all of it. And He can handle it. God can handle it if you're crying. God can handle it if you're happy and laughing. God can handle it if you need to yell at Him a little while because you can't figure it out. And why would God? And why would God? He can handle all those things. Just be real. Just be simple. Just be honest. Like talking to a friend. But here's the thing. If the friendship is not there with God, if God is not somebody you're close to and He's way out there, then prayer is a chore. It's hard work. It's not really something I want to do. But what God wants is a good relationship with us. So much so that He sent His Son to make it possible. He wants a good relationship where you can easily talk to Him. And He sent His Son to make it possible. Listen to this. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. It says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. By Jesus' death on a cross and Him taking our sins away, we can be in the presence of holy God. And God says, and that's what I want. I want you with me. I want you spending time with me. I want a friendship. I want a relationship with you. I don't want to be some distant God because I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's what God wants. God wants a friendship with you. Can you hear me on that? He wants a friendship with you. So be honest. Just talk to God like a friend. Number two, like how to best talk to God about my problems. Number two is this, be thankful while I'm going through my problems. Be thankful while I'm going through my problems. Be thankful while going through problems, right? This one is easier said than done. This is kind of upside down for most people. Be thankful while going through problems? Like for most of it, it's like a whole new way to look at it, to look at our problems. You want me to look at my problems with thankfulness? That's what you want. That's not what I want. It's what God wants. It's what God wants. God reminds us many times in our Bibles, He just says over and over again, and be thankful, and be thankful, and thank the Lord, and thank God for all He's blessed you with, and be aware of God's blessings in your life, and be thankful for those things. God reminds us so many times about that. Now, hopefully, when we have a problem, we're reminded to go to God instead of Google, okay? So that's where we're going to start. And when we do, what if we started our talking to God, God, I've got this problem, God, help me. But first of all, let me thank You for all that You've already blessed me with. Thank You for breath in my body. Thanks for the job that I have and the family that I have and the parents that I have and the friends that I have. And thank You, Lord, for my kids. And thank You, Lord, for maybe for my grandkids. And thank You, Lord, for just my health at the time. And thank You for that I'm able to do this and able to do this. Thank You for the life and the breath. And as we're in this springtime, you know, thank You, Lord, for the beauty of the... What if we just started thanking God? Because when we start thanking God, if we start our prayers with thanking God, it kind of changes our spirit away from woe is me to, wow, I'm so blessed. Now, that also gives us a little bit better perspective on our problem. Because sometimes our problems, I get it, sometimes problems are huge, they are life-altering, they are life-changing. Sometimes we make our problems huge and life-altering and life-changing because we get them out of perspective. But if we can get that perspective, if we start with thankfulness, if we start with all that He's already blessed us with, and then we started saying, and here's my problem. We start listing blessings back to God, and we realize, my blessings outweigh my problems. And we start to think, God, I'm so blessed. And it starts to lower our stress about the problem. Man, I have so many good things going for me. I have so many good things in my life, and they come from You. And we start to recognize that maybe God is something up to something to make me better. He's blessed me so many different ways. Maybe this problem, maybe He's got a plan for that. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about how our problems will either make me bitter or make me better. And it's our choice. Every time we face a problem, I can allow it to make me bitter, or I can say, God, use this to make me better. A better follower of You, more Christ-like, more in relationship with You. If I'm thankful as I go through my problems, I'm likely to choose to get better through whatever my problems. Because problems are coming, we know that. That's life. They're coming. What am I going to do with them? Now, Paul faced many problems in life, and he writes this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Notice, now, in that verse, notice he says, "Be thankful in all circumstances." He did not say, "Be thankful for all circumstances." Like, within the circumstances, as you're going through the problem, be thankful. I don't have to be thankful that I'm going through this problem, but I'm going to be thankful in that problem because God might be up to something. God might be wanting to do something more. Will I still praise God in my problems? Will I trust Him in my problems? You know, this is a tough step. That's a tough step. Number two, be thankful while going through my problems, right? That's a tough step. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. Would you look in your next steps? In your next steps, you're going to see that third next step. The first one is memorize. The second one is read. And you should take time for those as well. But that third next step is, if you just mark this, you're more likely to do it. I will begin my prayers this week with, thank you. God, thank you for this, and thank you for this, and thank you for this. That's how I'm going to start my prayers. Thank you. Maybe mark that next step, and that'll get us into a little better habit, right? All right, number three. Be persistent in talking with God. Be persistent in talking with God. Be persistent. I guess you can write down nagging, but persistent's a better word, okay? Use persistent. Does anyone else have a persistent person in your life? Anyone? Like, you have a persistent person in your life? My daughter, Lily, is one of the most persistent people I've ever met in my life. She is persistent. She is tenacious. She goes after it. And sometimes she goes after it with me. Through years, she has been part of a dance studio for years and years and years. And I would often, before she could drive, I would drop her off at dance and pick her up at dance. And every time we would leave dance, and she would get in the car and say, "Can we go to Quick Trip? Can we go to Quick Trip? Can we go to Quick Trip? Can we go to Quick Trip?" And if I didn't mention it, she would say, "Can we go to Quick Trip?" And I'd say, "No, we can't. Can we go to Quick Trip? No, we can't. Can we go to Quick Trip? No, we can't. Can we go to Quick Trip? Fine, we'll go to Quick Trip." Okay? And it wasn't because I was weak. I was tired. Okay? Just tired. And sometimes I would say, "No, stick to it, go home." But honestly, she's my daughter. I like doing good things for her. If she wants to go to Quick Trip and I can make it happen, why not? You know? I'm tired and I got things going on. I'm trying to do this. But if I can stop once in a while at Quick Trip and that makes her happy so she can get a drink or she can get a sandwich or something like that after a long night of dance, fine. Let's go to Quick Trip. But she's persistent. You know, I love that persistence. Well, sometimes I love it. Okay. But I love that persistence. And I love when I can show my love for her by giving her what she does. I mean, she wants that. She'd like that. I love giving it to her. But you know what's funny? Is that is God tells us to pray to Him about our everyday needs. He says, keep coming. Keep asking. Don't quit. Don't quit. Bring me your everyday needs. Bring me your ups and downs. Bring me all the things you're going through. He wants us to continually tell Him what's on our hearts. Why? Why? Because persistence is the key to unlocking the heart of God. Let me say that one more time. Persistence is the key to unlocking the heart of God. Now, I need to explain that a little bit because what I've talked about so far sounds like nagging, right? And that doesn't sound like a good thing. And, you know, why can't no be no and yes be yes? And okay. But hear me out, if you would. Listen to Jesus. This is Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Jesus, speaking to the people, tells them this. He says, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Did you notice? He didn't say, ask once and then let it go. No, he says, keep on. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep doing that. Well, that seems kind of annoying, doesn't it? I mean, that's a little bit annoying. You want me to keep on? Why would God, the creator of the universe, ask me to be persistent in prayer? Like, why wouldn't God say no means no and yes means yes and that's it? Yes. Okay, good. No. Okay, good. He says, keep on asking. Keep coming. Why would he do that? Why would the God of the universe say, come and keep asking? A couple of things. Here's the first part. The first is that prayer draws us closer to God. And the more you talk to God, the more chance you get to hear from God and get to know his voice. So if I keep on asking, I'm going to keep going to God. And hopefully, in that time that I go to God and I go to God and I go to God, I'm with God. Maybe I start to learn his voice. You know, my wife and I, my wife Sarah and I, we've been married for 36 years, and we have talked so many times over those years that I know her voice. Now, every once in a while, one of her daughters sounds like her, but for the most part, I know her voice. If I'm getting on the phone, I'm answering the phone or whatever, and I don't look at the identification. Okay, so if I answer the phone, the first syllable she utters, I know who it is. That's Sarah. That's my Sarah. That's who I've talked to hundreds, thousands, millions of times over 36 years. I know that voice. And by the way, it is like the angels singing. Okay. Anyway, so I know that voice so well. At the first syllable. I have other people who call me and I'll grab the phone, maybe at the office or whatever, and they start talking and I'm like, I have no idea who this is. I'm not sure. I'm not picking up your voice. I'm not knowing who this is. And I have to ask them, hang on a second, who is this? And I have to ask, so what is the difference between Sarah's voice and somebody else's voice? Time. Time. If I spend time with that person, I get to know that voice. Time. If we don't spend time talking to God, and we start facing a big problem, and we need to hear his voice, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? What do you want me to... And I don't know his voice, it's going to be hard, because oftentimes he comes in a still, small voice. As he said to Elijah, I come with a whisper. You need to know my voice. You need to know my voice. And so, if I need to hear from God, if I need to hear his direction, I need to know his voice. God could be talking. If I haven't spent time with God, God could be talking, and I'd never know it. Why not? Not enough time. Not enough conversations. Not enough persistence in asking and seeking and knocking and coming to him. Like he's talking, you can't hear him because I don't know his voice. Listen, there is something bigger going on in your than just your prayer being answered when we take time, if we're persistent. But God, I want this. But God, I want this. But God, I want this. There's something bigger going on than me just going after what I want. That time spent with God draws me closer to God, and it helps me to hear his voice. Now, second reason persistence is important is that it grows our faith. If I'm persistent in prayer, it grows my faith. It makes me more like Jesus. Let me explain this. Here's why. Because. How does persistence in prayer make me more like Jesus? Because. Here's what happens in prayer. Prayer does not bend God's will to ours. My prayer time bends my will to God's. God's immovable. But the more time I spend with him, the more I can see things the way God can see things. He draws me in and says, let me show you what I see. Let me show you what I'm experiencing. I need you to trust me in this because. Or I need you to trust me in this and I can't tell you why. But I need you to trust me in this. But the more time we spend with God, the more we realize he's God. And he can handle things way better than I can. So when I go to him in prayer, the more I ask, the more I seek, the more I knock. When I go back to him over and over and over and over and over again, I start to realize he's God and I can trust him. And I'm going to allow Him to take over my will, not me telling Him what to do anymore. He knows what He's doing. My faith grows. I start to see things through God's eyes. I start to see His ways. We start to see when we're asking for things that are not good for us. God, I was asking for that, but You're right. I don't need that. I don't need that. I just want what You want now. I thought I wanted that, but now let's just do it Your way. The more I spend time with Him, the more I trust Him. The more I realize who He is and who I'm spending time talking to. And He's God. We become more comfortable with Him getting His way in our lives. But it takes time. Instead of me getting my way, I want what He wants. But it takes time. I have to be persistent in my prayer so we can have time together. So pray. Pray for what you want and keep on praying. God, I want this. God, I want this. God, I want this. The more time we keep going back to Him, the more He'll mold that into what He wants. Here's what I want. And we start to trust Him. We go, God, I thought I wanted. Now I want what You want. We grow in our faith and we become more Christ-like. We're trusting Him more. We're growing in faith as He calls us to over and over and over again in Scripture. So keep on asking. Finally, this one. How do I talk to God? Be ready to obey what God tells me. Be ready to obey what God tells me. Number four, be ready to obey what God tells me. Be ready to obey. Listen, this makes going to God first very difficult for us. Because sometimes we know that God's answer is not what I want to hear. God, I'm coming to You. I've got this problem. I'm pretty sure I know what You're going to tell me. And I don't want to hear that. Because if I have to do that, I'm going to have to change some things. And I'm going to feel like I'm hurting people or I'm hurting a situation or I'm getting hurt or whatever. Like, and change is hard. So You're going to tell me to change something I don't want to change. Number one reason we don't go to God first in our problems is because we're afraid of what He's going to tell us to do. And then I have a choice to make. Am I going to be obedient to Him or disobedient to Him? If I don't ask Him, then I'm not being disobedient? Yeah, maybe you are. Maybe we still are. We know that God's way is likely the best way. And we also know that the best way is seldom the easy way. So if I go to God, it's probably not going to be easy. It's going to be the best. It's probably not going to be easy. Please hear me on this, and I'm talking to me too. God's way is seldom the easy way, but it is always, 100% of the time, the best way. It's the best way. We go to Him first. How do we go to Him first? How do we talk to God? With a spirit of obedience. I'll trust You, Lord. I'm going to come and ask You a question, but what You tell me to do, I'll just do it. That's part of it. And so let me ask you a question. Are you ready to obey whatever it is that God tells you to do? Do you trust that He has the best solution for whatever problem you have? Are you ready to say yes? Maybe before you even know your own problem. God, I trust You. No matter what comes along, I'll say yes to You. Jesus says this, John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, "My sheep listen to My voice, and I know them. And they follow Me." Would you please circle the word listen? Okay. Sometimes we know that verse is "My sheep hear My voice," but "My sheep listen to My voice." Would you circle where it says listen? How often do you pray to God about a problem and you tell God all about it and how tough it is and you ask Him to give you direction and then you sign off with your amen without waiting to hear anything, waiting to listen? How often do we do that? We give our laundry list of needs and wants. Here, God, I need this. I want this. I need this. I want this. Take care of this. Take care of this family member and this friend and this coworker and handle this and handle this and handle this. Okay, amen. We don't give God a chance to speak back into our lives. We don't get a chance to learn His voice, do we? We don't meditate. We don't reflect. We don't listen. Can you imagine if I called my wife Sarah, speaking of my wife Sarah, can you imagine if I just called her and said, "Hey, I need you to just listen, don't say a word. Here's what I need today. I need this taken care of, that taken care of, don't forget to pick that up, don't forget to drop that off, don't forget to take care of this. Make sure dinner's ready before I get home because I'm going to have to be home at this time and then I got a meeting at this time and make sure all that gets done. Got it? So be it. Goodbye." Click. How do you think that's going to go? Do you think there's much relationship there, or do you think there will be a relationship for long? Mm-mm. And so when we speak to God, we slow down. We listen. We listen to His voice. Again, which is often that still small voice, it's a whisper. But I need to get to know His voice. So I'm hearing what He's telling me to do. So before you say amen, how about this? God, thank you so much, because we're going to start with thank you, right? God, thank you so much for this, this, and this. God, here's what I see that I need. Here's what's going on in my life, and I really want you to intervene and take care of that. And before we say, in Jesus' name, amen, before we say that, we go, and God, I'm listening. I'm listening. What do you got? I'm just going to spend a minute here. I'll listen. Help my mind to go in the directions that you want it to go. Help me to be in your presence. I'm listening. Okay. Now I'll say amen. But God, I'm going to keep listening to you. I'm listening for you. I want you to answer. I want to hear His voice. Now, go back into that verse. That John 10:27. You circled where it says listen. Would you circle the two words where it says follow me? Those last two words, just circle where it says follow me, because that's the obedience part. That's the obedience part. Will I follow His instructions? Because often His direction means I have to change something. That's the stuff we don't like. I'm going to have to change something. We don't like change. His answer might be, you need to remove this sin from your life. Yeah, but God, it's a habit and I like it. No, I need you to remove that from your life. I need you to go, like, I want you to go on a mission trip. Well, I don't have the money to do that. I can't take time to do that. Yep, you can. It's time for you to serve some other people. Maybe it's, hey, you need to break off a bad relationship. And we don't see it as a bad relationship, but, well, I think it's pretty good. It's okay. I mean, I'm sinful in it and whatever else, but I think it's pretty good. Mm-mm. What is God telling you today that you're attempting to ignore? Can we hear His voice? Am I ready to obey what He has for me? Listen, obeying is a better choice. We find this throughout Scripture. Obedience matters to God. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 27 says this, you will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. You will be blessed. You want to be blessed? Good. Then obey. Obey God's ways, not my ways. Not my own ways, not my friend's ways, not my sibling's ways, not my spouse. Nuh-uh. God's ways. Anyone need blessed? Be obedient. We obey. His way is better. And His way is better for all eternity. So we're obedient to Him, even as I'm going to bring this last verse in. Be obedient to Him in your eternity. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through me. No one goes to the Father except through me. Be obedient. Go through Him. Ask Jesus for forgiveness. He's the only one who can. Ask Him to guide your life. He's the only one who can for the better. Trust Him. And some of you might be saying, yeah, but Pastor Stan, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. That is not for everyone. Well, then listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 21. He says this. It says, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That word is everyone. No exceptions. No matter what your past is, this is good news. No matter what your past is, you can call on the Lord today and we're saved. God, from my heart, you can't head fake God, but from your heart, God, I understand you're the only one who can forgive me. Please forgive me. And from now on, I'll follow you. That can happen right now today. And you saw it, everyone. Anyone and everyone. He didn't say anything about your past being bad enough or good enough. Everyone. All right. Let's obey. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Let's be persistent. Let's be thankful. Let's keep trusting that He loves us beyond our understanding. And let's keep talking to God. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for today. Thanks for the opportunity we have to hear from you. Thanks for good news. That no matter who we've been, it doesn't matter near as much as who you want us to be. You want us to be forgiven. And so you sent your Son, whether we agree or not, it's available. Would you help more of us to just be in agreement that Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through you. No one has eternity in your presence except through you. It's the only way. And then would you help us to trust you, to keep learning, to be obedient to your ways, to get to learn to know your voice so we're following your guidance and your direction. Again, we want your will to be done, and if there is anybody here who is part of that, everyone, remind them right now. I can simply say, Jesus, forgive me, I need you. I trust you're the only one who can forgive me, so forgive me. I'll learn, I'll follow your ways, I'll be persistent. Thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Been a great day here. Glad you have been with us for, as we continue this God Help Me series. Hopefully it has been helpful as we pray God Help Me. All right. And so, before you're done, don't forget to hit send on that connection card. Make sure your prayer requests are in. Make sure you say, hey, I'm going to start my prayers with thank you. I'm going to start there. Okay. Maybe I'm going to memorize. Maybe I'm going to read. I'm going to keep going forward in my faith. Remember, you can always hit that give button as well. And that just kind of brings us into God's presence in His way as well. Because, again, that's not about money. That's about heart. That's just what it is. Anyway, so next week we are going to continue this series called God Help Me. We're going to continue this series called God Help Me. Does anybody here ever feel like you're lacking meaning or purpose in your life? So next week, God Help Me. To understand my purpose, to have purpose. All right. Hey, have a great week, and we'll see you next week.